Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Elder Lloyd.
Good afternoon, Azama. It's a pleasure to be back again on air.
Yes, man, a great pleasure to have you once again. I hope that you've been doing well, eh?
I'm trying as much as I can.
Yeah, no, let's try, man. Let's try. Now, in our session last week, we came to the conclusion that there is only one way, truth, life, and that the only way to the Father is through the Son. With this in mind, we want to now figure out what exactly that means. Please summarize this day's lesson, beginning with the story of Ramon, of course.
Yes, our story today is about Ramon, who was a Brahmin. I hope I pronounced that right. But just to clarify, this is there is a Hindu, but there is apparently quite a number of different sects, if I could call that, within the Hindu religion.
It's not like
there is one Hindu, much like in Christianity. There is Christianity, but there are different shades of Christianity, and the same goes with the Hindu religion. So Ramon, is by one way or another, he relocated to the United States, and it really appears that for quite some while he's been observing Christianity from the shadows, but until he went to the United States of America, he had not quite had time to reflect upon it. By an act of providence, I would want to say that he eventually watched a life on Christ. I'm not sure whether it was the Passion or, you know, there are a dozen films on the life of Christ. You know, most of these deities, Zama, they do teach servitude to those to those deities. But one thing that stands out with Christianity is that Christ, while he is master, he also took the role of a servant, and this is something that really struck hard to Ramon. You would have expected for Christ to be working miracles for self-deliverance, but when he watched that movie, he discovered that far from it, but Christ would not perform any miracles in self-delivery. And this really touched our brother, or our sister, our brother rather, Ramon here, and even the way he died to save us, it really made a mark. Up until Ramon chose Christ as his savior, I really like what he said in this story, that when he contemplated and considered Christ's sacrificial love, everything else fell to pieces. You know, whatever belief he held as a Brahmin did not quite hold, and he eventually became a Christian in the United States of America. That's maybe a summary of the character in our story today.
Thank you for that summary. Now, what does it mean that salvation is in Jesus and Him alone?
I would want to posit, Zama, that it really means just that, you know, that salvation is in Christ Jesus. It means just that, you know. Man has always tried to get to a supreme being by one means or another, you know, in other religions, through child sacrifices. You even talk of African traditional religion, talk of the Muslim religion, Hinduism, name it. One thing about men is that they're always striving to get to a supreme being. You know, I always love to refer to what Augustine of Hippo said, that in every man there is a vacuum that always seeks to worship, you know. And we come to this point that all other methods that men is sought to use are of no effect, but there is only but one way, which is Christ. I was just looking at there's a temple in India called the Kanimata, It's a temple in India, or the Red Temple, Red R-A-T. You know, this is a belief system whereby they believe that a rat is a very sacred animal, you know, and they go to the temple. The rats are fed on milk. Then the believers come and drink that milk for a blessing and things like that. Ooh. People do have very strange belief systems in the world. But the only way is through Christ, as we are saying here.
Now, many people do say that they are followers of Christ. And and we're saying that salvation is just through Christ alone. But we fall under so many different denominations and beliefs, and we're followers of Christ. Are we saved by a particular religion? Are we saved by being Adventist?
All right. I would want to mention that, you know, for so long, for over 4,000 years, right from the time when Adam sinned, we have had to wait for this one man. You know, there was no plan B, if I could put it that way. You can imagine how many sacrifices were made from the day Adam made the first sacrifices up until the time Christ died on the cross. Acts 4 verse 2, there is no other way. In 1 Timothy 2 verse 5, there is no other man. As you have said, many people claim to be followers, following under different denominations. But the Bible is our guide. You know, 1 John 2 verse 6, one who says he loves the Lord should walk as he walked. 14:15 of John and 15:14, if you love me, keep my commandments. And if you are my friends, keep my words. That's our real test. So people are really free to fall under any denomination or belief system. But the litmus test is when we have the belief systems measured against the Bible, which we believe is the word of God. And whether we are saved by a particular religion or particular denomination, that's a very important question. You know, when we read in the book of Romans chapter 3, verse 2, Paul proposes that to the Jews were committed the oracles of God. You know, so whoever claims to be a Christian needs to view himself or herself in that perspective, that are we going according to what God put forth to Christians through the Jews, which were pretty much like the teacher's college. We can be members of any denomination we want, but God does have a certain religion. I'm not too sure whether I'm putting it across clear.
So God has a set. Does it belong to a particular religion? Is that what you're trying to say?
No, he has given his oracles to a certain religion.
Oh, I see. So he has given his... Okay, right, I see you. So which means that you've got to narrow yourself down to that particular religion. In order for you to be saved.
Yes. There is a quotation that I love. I think it was by Ellen White, which says, the only religion that leads to God is that one religion that comes from him. You know, it's just as simple as that.
Now, if I get into this religion, I come from wherever I come from, I get into, let's say, Christian religion, there's nothing else I need to do. I just say, okay, I'm now in Christianity and we're good to go. I'm saved.
Not that way. You know, they really are, if I could call them, terms and conditions. You know, we really have to abide by what God has revealed. When you read the Bible, I mean, we are saved by grace. You know, we cannot do anything to measure up to God's standard. Yeah, but why we are saved by grace like that? God really has some compliance which he requires from us, given Revelation chapter 12, verse 17, for example, that we need to be keeping the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. There really are terms and conditions to it.
Now, if I keep to these terms and conditions, then I don't need to be a member of any particular church. I can just follow his terms and conditions, and we're good to go.
No, you really need to belong to a denomination. You know, when you read the Bible, for example, Hebrews 10, verse 25, Paul admonishes us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. In that text, there is an inference that we really need to belong to a body of believers.
Mm.
1 Corinthians chapter 12 sounds the same sentiments that we are members of a body, so we are never standalones. We are like members of a web of believers, so to say.
All right. So, which means that our salvation depends, number one, as you say, we've got to be a part of a particular religion. That's one. Number two, you say that for us to be saved, we must be members of a church.
Yeah, but it goes deeper than that, Zama, in this way, that we really are judged according to the light that God would have shown in our path. I would want to clarify it. Like, for example, I'm a member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. But I also believe that there are some people who are not members of my denomination would still be saved, because God works with each individual according to the light they would have received. So I would want to qualify it a bit that it's not like if someone has to be saved, I mean that someone has to be in the ACMS, you know, the Adventist Church Management System, the system used by church clerks. It doesn't work that way. We do have what we call the visible church, which is the church, the denomination, which preaches and teaches exactly what God would have believers to teach and believe. Mm. But also, we do have members of Christ's fold. I mean, which when you read John 10, verse 16, Christ spoke of the invisible church. There are many sincere souls, even outside of the right denomination, if we could call that. Mm-hmm. John 10, 16, whereby Christ says that other sheep of this fold do I have, which I must call also. So it is not for us to have a position that if you do not belong to a certain religion or a certain denomination, there is no salvation for you, because to a greater extent, God works with sincerity. Some people are within the wrong denomination, if I could call it that, but they would be living according to all the light they have ever received, and God counts that for righteousness.
Now, what happens if I find this religion or a church, as you suggest, and they claim to have the truth, and when I get there, I find that the people in this particular church are not representing a loving Christ. They are liars. They are hypocrites, adulterers, murderers. Should I then leave?
No, you shouldn't. I think just by the 12 disciples which Christ himself had, we can see that Judas was a part of it. I think God had it so to show that the church this side of life would never be perfect, as I would want to call it, and that reminds me of what Martin Luther said, that God forbid that I should be a member of a church of sinless people. I'm not sure of the phrasing anymore, but we will always be members of the church militant. This is the life we will always have. We are sinners, you know. Romans 6 verse 23, Romans 3 verse 23. We are fallen, and we always have fallen brethren and so forth. We're not going to have a perfect church this side of life, and it's never a reason for you to abandon a church that Zama is doing so and so. Brother Lloyd is doing this and that. It's not reason enough to abandon the ship.
Mm. So which means that if I find those people, I must not doubt and say, not maybe this is not the right place.
Yeah, it's like when you are coming from work and you get into your house and you find how dirty it would be. You're not going to get out of the house, lock the door and run away. You would not do that.
Mm. All right. But that's a fantastic, fantastic way to end it. My elder, I must thank you so much for coming through and discussing this, I think, very important topic with us, because God has a church, as it were. And as you say, it's incumbent upon each and every one of us to find that church and to follow God, because that's where his statutes, he has given his oracles, as you said, to this particular people to be able to send them out there. Well, my elder, I'll connect with you again tomorrow, same time and same place.
Thank you so much, Zama. We'll talk tomorrow.
Lovely. Thank you. Have a good one.
You too. Bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.